Shannon and Jimmy Kamicho, who all graduated together from the RCAMA in Communications and
Art and Design.
And we're doing a series of interviews in empty gallery spaces, setting up an anticipatory dialogue inside the gallery, talking about the artist's relationship with the space before they install. And we always kind of start off with the same question at every interview, which is kind of how you started to conceive of your relationship with Tenderpixel gallery space in its quite special location.
Okay, so we kind of formed as a collective because we're illustrators and we've got a passion for kind of storytelling and bookmaking anyway. And we came across the gallery because we came to see Cardi, a friend of ours, Private View, and we hadn't discovered this gallery before.
Okay.
And then I think it was Rachel kind of at the same time discovered the Invisible Light blog.
Yeah, I found the blog, which was a list of all the books ever written about Tree River kind of blog. But it's a blog of all the books ever written about within Invisible Light fiction. So when there's an author or somebody reads a book within worth fiction, and they're listed on this blog. So, and it's quite extensive, there's lots and lots of people on there. And I found it, I just thought it was such an interesting concept that there could be this list of books that actually have never existed. And so we really wanted to do something about that, and it kind of happened almost simultaneously.
Okay.
So we kind of thought that we wanted to do something with this, and then we saw this gallery, and it's in like perfect location. Great history of bookshops and to support. We didn't really want to just show flat artwork as well. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see if they were actually going to be books. We wanted these books to exist and be able to be touched and actually physically real. And so we've made books and then they have covers. So there's 40 books that are going to be exhibiting on these kind of bookshelves that are going to be on three of the walls. Part of the process is that we want people to come to the gallery and write in the books. So write what they think the first like 400 words or beginning or the end of the story. But there's a kind of game that I've played quite a lot at Christmas where you have to write, you write a name of a story. Oh, there's a title of a story and you have to write it. And then you have to, the other team reads it out and you compare it with the actual text and the person who writes it on. It's kind of a sort of play on that. And so we've got some existing authors to start it off. And they'll start, then exist in the gallery and we've written them in the book. But then we want that gallery revisited. And carry on the story, so it comes a bit like a prison corpse.
So anyone can come in and sort of
definitely.
And how will they just sit down, or how are you going to sort of chat? How are people going to sort of interact in the space?
Well, we want them to be like a, because something that's really important to us is like how accessible our work is, and then people can just kind of look at them and understand them and draw from them. And we're going to run some workshops doing kind of book covers and. But we really want, we kind of printed dust jackets, so if they do get back to it, that we can just kind of print them off, and we just want people to kind of just hold them and write in them and just use them.
How did you select the 40 that you did? Was it random, or was it their favourite title?
Some of the quite interesting ones were we've got people, other authors who picked ones that they wanted to do, so therefore we were illustrating ones that they wanted to do. So, and Ian Sinclair's doing one, and he actually came with us with a kind of picture that was completed that he found, and he was like, we want you to use this. So that was quite interesting. It was like, how do you kind of, and it was actually someone else's image, and so that was quite interesting how you kind of translate that into something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite a good one.
Are those the kind of narratives that will end up somehow being played out inside the space? Will that be detailed, or are you kind of verbalising that now? Is that something that
I think. We didn't really want a big chunk of text about what's going on, but I think we might have to have something like that to explain it all. What about authorship? Like, are you going to have any sort of, like, whatever's going to be written in these books, are you just, that's it, and you're going to accept it, or have you still got this authorship where you might take that edit?
No, I don't think so.
How much of it kind of been left open since the time that you've started storming tomorrow? is it mainly decided?
We always keep it quite open because we draw and we work quite spontaneously, and we like the handmade and the handcrafted, and so we never.
The best one you do, it's the best one. Our studio is nowhere near this fabulous, and the ceilings are a lot lower, and the minute you kind of step in here, you really realise that the space seems so much larger, and that's why we've kind of. We kind of started thinking about where the books would be placed, and we were like, oh, we'll put them all at eye level, like you kind of think about when you're hanging paintings, and you we've done exhibitions before where you stick a line at your eye level and then it's like, right, hang everything around in a circle. And we were like, well, no, actually, that's not how bookshelves exist. And you have to reach really high to kind of get the book down, or you have to kind of...
So there's experiences.
Yeah. So we wanted to have that actual physical, you know, how reaching and looking at things, and rather than them all being like accessible, like you're walking in kind of... I don't know, that there was actually some kind of participation in it.
So the workshops that you're going to be setting up, they're with a defined group, or people could come in and
join? Well, there's a real mix, yeah. Some of them, there is going to be, like, one of our friends has written, he's in the process of writing a book, and so he's got a passage, and we want to kind of perhaps open it up to people to come in and illustrate covers for that. But then some are going to be, we have got specific people coming in, and there's some, so there's a real kind of variety.
I was just thinking that in terms of imagining the workshops in process and in space, maybe in terms of this release or something, people coming in and kind of feeling like, actually, even though maybe it looks kind of welcoming, they're not welcome because other people are having a conversation. I don't know whether there's something that... Is there a structure that you're maybe devising to make it more inviting?
We've got some, I mean, there's some events that are basically closed because
when the gallery's closed.
I think if we just left it open, I think we just advertised it in kind of art spaces or wherever we could, I think that then we'd have ended up getting a certain sort of people. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to go directly to the people that we wanted to invite and then bring them into space. Mm-hmm. In fact, like, we're having to organise like mini buses to get the British people to come here. Mm-hmm. But then we've got some evening events that are more open to kind of the general public, and they're talks, and although they're maybe not directly participating in this talk, there's a music event as well. And having
but I know what you mean, because it could be quite intimidating to see these already finished artworks.
Or just kind of people already having a conversation that you don't know,
You wouldn't maybe not want to come in and write something if there's people sat there talking. Yeah.
I'm just going to interrupt just for a second. I think I might actually be the opposite in some cases, because Jess and I actually spend a lot of time in the gallery, and we tend to watch people and watch kind of observe people from the outside. This is a great fishbowl, and people can watch us, and we can watch them. And one thing that I've always found that is really amazing is if it's just ourselves, just one person in here, people are afraid to come in. But as soon as there's two people in conversation, people feel like their eyes are no longer on them, and they can come in and they can explore. So it could be the opposite. I mean, it could be once they come in and they realise what's going on, they might feel a bit funny, but it might actually bring more people in than just us on our own kind of individually in the space.
And what would the aesthetic of the space then? So you're going to have the bookshelves, and what else is going to sort of allude to this sort of live?
We want it to feel like the bookshops around here, so that perhaps you wouldn't kind of know the difference in the sense.
But in the window, they're hanging these two sort of quite large drawings on this sort of semi-translucent paper of books. Sort of piled up, quite similar to the look of those bookshops. And then we've got this vinyl for the window that we saw one of the bookshops and we really liked the text on the window.
You physically are verbalising or kind of writing stories that never existed. Do you think there's a kind of element of, in terms of verbalising now the exhibition or the concept of the exhibition, do you think there's a layer of fiction that's being added to the fictions that you're already creating by verbalising it now, or would you see that as a kind of descriptor of the concept that sits kind of beside the exhibition itself? Do you think there's a way that it could, that this kind of talking about it, like putting it before the actual exhibition itself, changes it materially in any way, or gives it a different viewing structure, like it, for the audience in terms of what they might see in their heads now, they might come to see it differently, or do you, is it?
But, I mean, that's one thing that I was kind of thinking about was, because people are going to really see our covers first, and then I guess it's in the same way as this, like the first thing that someone sees is the front cover, and I wonder how much that's going to influence someone who's writing in the book. That's quite interesting, because from us, we just had one line of text within the title and the author, and so we've had very little to kind of go by, but perhaps the people that are writing in it, I wonder how much they'll be, in the same way that you're talking about the audience here, perhaps might know more about the exhibition and therefore be influenced by their thoughts.
One of the things I was thinking about is the fact that there are so many kind of devices that you're exposing through the exhibition that you're describing now, the device of the kind of, you know, the empty book that will get filled and the concept of, you know, a book that doesn't exist, a book that doesn't exist, and then kind of verbalising it now that's maybe kind of another device that maybe will sit with the other devices that I don't know, that kind of helps generate self-consciousness maybe. I don't know whether that's the kind of metafiction. I don't know, that maybe makes the workshops relevant as well, because you're then generating a conversation, which is also, you brought these things in maybe as a device for having a conversation with other people about the concept.
Most of the point of it was that we found that like, being exact was so successful, and like we really like the dialogue that goes on with us. And if we were thinking like how many ways can you kind of extend that dialogue in like one's workshops, and then you kind of collaborate in your teachings, or and then this one's a kind of more random, I guess, and more kind of uncontrollable collaborative when you're getting there to just sort of writing the book really useful.
Because in the end, it's a kind of personal exercise, isn't it? The workshops might start off with a conversation, but then you leave. It's interesting to me that using the exhibition to kind of almost like verbalise the process of making, almost like a, you know, conversation between yourselves as a collective, the type of conversation that you enjoy having, but that you then bring to the space, which might. I don't know, which might then isolate people or might bring people to you. You're imagining a kind of, maybe a certain kind of creativity or will to participate, which if you kind of install this concept inside a kind of bookshop, you maybe wouldn't necessarily get the same response. Do you think you generate a specific kind of conversation through having it in this gallery?
Yeah, because there's that thing about not, like we were talking about not wanting it to be a gallery and not wanting it, or not wanting it to seem so much like a gallery, but then there's also the opposite, as in you want people to kind of be thinking about
what you're doing,
creative things and art and writing, and so in one way you do, but in one way you want to break it down enough so that they come in and want to participate, but then you want them to feel like it
strikes me that you're being quite honest about its process, and I just wondered in terms of the intergallery interviews, a lot of artists bringing a certain, the concept of bringing a certain identity in order to be able to, as in building a fiction of yourself in order to be able to answer the questions that we're asking as a kind of preface to the exhibition, so that maybe there's something here that you're not revealing that will only get revealed later, and maybe there is, but there's a kind of, it's striking that there's kind of it seems quite honest, and that I just wanted in terms of imagining your performance.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe because our work is quite just like tends to be almost like journals and diaries, something quite professional and quite open.
Maybe it's because you don't consider yourself performance within your work.
Maybe it's a discipline like illustration.
So I don't know, I don't mind talking about it as much.
Sometimes it's more like make ourselves create what we want to do.
Because between us, we do talk and share ideas, but not to like this extent.
I don't know. It's kind of, you learn as well. It's interesting being in the kind of collaborative thing, and it's quite, you have to be a great diplomat and kind of.
Do you think that collaboration kind of extends into the gallery space in terms of the people who are coming in and then become your collaborators?
That was the idea. I mean, we hoped that would be the case, and that was why almost we wanted them to write there. We've got this kind of like a library slip that you see in front of a book, and except it says like contributor's name, and we've got a date stamp until you stamp it. So the idea would be then everyone that has contributed, rather than them being anonymous, they're actually credited somewhere. And so that, you know, that it becomes their work as much as ours.
And maybe
ours are the same size.
Because there's three of us perhaps if you're coming in, I don't know, it's not, perhaps if it's just one person's vision, it might be a bit harder for them.
Yeah, because it's already dispersed between three of you. Cool. Thank you very much for coming, everyone.
And thank you for talking to us about your show.